Brad is on the line. Hi, Brad. How you doing?
Fantastic.
That's different for you.
Well, you don't seem to respond all that well when I tell you what I really am.
I'm not frustrating, I guess. I'm not responding the way that you want me to respond. Hey, but that's all right.
You don't live up to my expectations.
You're going to be a bully today, are you? Okay, the Great Dichotomy, Humility versus Responsibility, Being Jesus, Part 9. You know, I don't have a lot of questions, but I actually would like to have a little bit of a conversation around something you say in your article. And I think it's what separates people or creates a stumbling block for people, because something just jumped off the page at me when I read your article. And it was in a quote that we've used over and over and over again in our conversations, and you've posted time and time and time again. And it's this one: anyone who believes in me will do the very same things you've seen me do. Something we talk about all the time, right? So,
Yep. So
where's the stumbling block in that? In what you're writing, in the context of what you're writing? Because I understand what you're saying is, don't try and take credit for it. There's no such thing as your ministry. It's got nothing to do with you. And Jesus never claimed to be able to do anything. He always gave credit to the source, right? It's not me, but the Father in me, right?
Yep.
Well, I agree with you totally on that one. There's no question in my mind. And anybody who's been reading your writings and listening to our podcast would probably agree with the fact that Jesus said that over and over and over again. So, where's the stumbling block? It's right here. Believes in me. Well, wait a second. That's a condition. And in that condition, he's saying I have to believe in Jesus. Well, that's not very humble.
No, I don't. You've got to follow what he says all the way. What's he say? The words you hear me speak are not me.
So then, in the case of this context, this statement, anyone who believes in me, the me is I am, is the source.
Yeah.
Right. But if you read it without knowing that, then it's quite a stumbling block. Because people are saying, well, believe in me. Or sorry, I shouldn't say that. People can interpret Jesus' statement as saying, believe in me. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes into the Father except through me. Well, who's me? There's that me again. Me comes up over and over again. And I think that that's the stumbling block to people letting go and wanting to take responsibility or wanting to take credit, even though their example, their earthly example, Jesus the Christ, didn't take credit. But reading it in a certain way, in a certain context, if I put my pause or my comma, and I don't capitalize the me, or don't state very clearly that the me is source, it can be quite the confusing conundrum, can't it?
So, what do you make of all that?
Well, what stumbles to mind for me is all of the ministries that we've seen come crashing down, especially in the 80s and the 90s, right? Tammy Faye and Jimmy Falwell and you don't even hear about Benny Hinn anymore, and I'm assuming it's because he got trashed so badly for having a private jet, and he's reaping the rewards of something that's got nothing to do with him. Financial rewards, big financial rewards. So the me portion needs to be understood not only by the person who's being used by Source to deliver healing or whatever it is, but also by the person who's receiving it. Everybody needs to understand what you're saying, both the receiver and the person standing in the place of Source.
And?
Otherwise, how could you be humble about it?
How? To me, it's overwhelming. How can you be anything but humble? Plus the fact, I think the easy thing to do is this. You know, we've had these conversations before, but, you know, when people have seen me and have seen somebody be healed of, you know, cancer or diabetes or scoliosis or asthma or whatever, and they had first attributed it to me, if I allow them to do that, that ends it. There's nothing I can do.
Right.
I don't understand that, but that's the dynamic. And that's why I so adamantly refuse anybody when they start in. You know, I can remember one guy said, oh, but I watched you. I watched you. That woman was blind, and now she can see. That man, you have got the gift. You know, and I said, no. You know, it, sometimes it takes weeks to get that through somebody's head. But I have to take that stand or the flow stops. That's all I can say about it. I don't know how to get past your self-imposed puzzle there. I sense that you're really not puzzled, that you're just trying to engage me in a conversation that will help somebody who's listening understand the process. Am I wrong there? Or?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm trying to do. Because when I read your article, that's what jumped off the page at me, was that when I thought of all the people, I thought of all the people who get caught in the trap of my ministry and my this and my that. It's the same trap that people fall into with sickness and disease. My cancer, my scoliosis, my blindness. They own it. They own something that really doesn't belong to them.
Wow.
And ministry is a name or a term we use to describe servanthood. But what happens is that servanthood, for most people who have egos attached, myself included, it's very difficult to let go of taking credit. And you have to actually have to practice it. You have to practice saying, no, it wasn't me. I can't take credit for that. I prayed and Source gave me guidance to do da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and I did it. So thanks very much, but don't give me the credit. It doesn't belong with me. All I did was pray. And how do you do that? Well, in your case, be the Source's throughput for people receiving healing. Or somebody goes, oh, Ryan, such wisdom. Wow, you solved my problem with that wisdom. Well, reality is, I didn't. All I did was say, thank you very much, I'll take your problem, I'll go pray about it, and well, here's the answer that I got. How can I take credit for that? I can't. But I still have to practice it on a daily basis, that humility part. Anytime somebody says, oh, you're so great, I have to go, no.
Well, you know, if you're having any problem with that, let me tell you, let me help you with that, because you're a big fat zero.
You're so kind.
You sounded like you needed help.
Yeah. Anytime I need help, I'll just call you.
Not yeah, but that, see, that's the dichotomy. And he did practice it. He did. He was a master of discipline.
I would have to agree with that. That's kind of the presentation that I get. And a lot of the things that we talk about, they require us to walk them out, so to speak. Walk out your faith. Walk out, and that requires discipline, because it's much easier to quit.
Oh boy, is it ever.
Yeah.
Try fasting for the first time.
Yeah.
All the junk that comes at you.
Took a while. Yeah.
And that's why what he said was so important, but it gets so misinterpreted. I have food you don't know anything about.
Right,
and
right.
And that's what you're talking about, is food that nobody knows anything about. And you have your unique process that Dad has given to you, but he's willing to give that to anybody. And it'll be their own unique process so they know it.
Yeah,
but you got to take responsibility to go after it.
Yes, which brings us down to the end of your article, and there's no better way to describe the responsibility that you have. Moment by moment, do only what your spirit parent is directing you to do.
Period.
Sounds like something very simple when to a casual reader, to actually moment by moment ask, they probably go, oh yeah, well, big deal. Try it. Try stopping yourself, closing your mouth, buttoning your lip before you open up and speak, and say, dad, source, whatever name you use, should I speak? Should I answer this? Or do you have an answer for me? You know? What now, Dad? That's a hard thing to say. It's a hard thing to do.
Mr. Bruce.
What?
You just... Have you done anything with the cover on the book?
Yes.
Have you really? Are we going to finally see that come out in print?
Yeah, we should soon, as soon as it's approved, yeah.
Well, of course, what brought that up was, you know, what now?
Exactly. What now? Yeah.
So,
what do I do?
No, and the interesting thing is, I mentioned somewhere, I don't know if it was in that article, but a fellow wrote me an email from Nova Scotia, and he's been corresponding with me for years, and what turned his whole family upside down was Treasure Chest. And now he's all excited about he and his wife have read Recognizing, what is it? What's the title? I don't know. It's What Now is the subtitle. Well, what's
the unrecognizable you. It's called The Unrecognizable You Discovered. What Now? By Brad Cullen.
Oh, that guy. Gosh. Anyway, that's the reason I asked, because he's just read it the third time, and he's just saying it just turns him upside down, and he printed it off, and he wanted to know when it was going to be available in book form so he could order it.
So thanks, Brad. Number 9. Is there going to be a number 10?
Sure.
Great. This is...
It's already in the queue.
We're on the road then, and we're going to keep going down this road for a while. Thanks.
Yeah, this is going to be a book.
Humility and responsibility. Hard work.
Yeah, well, what they say, nobody said it'd be easy.
Yeah.
Other than the snake oil salesman.
Yeah. Well, I guess you're not peddling snake oil. Thanks, Brad. I look forward to number 10.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate the call, per usual.
Bye.